I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My guest today is Jeffrey Smith, who is an international best-selling author, award-winning filmmaker, executive director of the Institute of Responsible Technology, and the leading spokesperson for the health dangers of GMOs. In 2012, Mr. Smith's feature-length documentary, Genetic Roulette, The Gamble of Our Lives, was awarded Movie of the Year and also Transformational Film of the Year. Described as a life-changer and seen by millions worldwide, the film links genetically engineered foods to toxic and allergic reactions, infertility, digestive disorders, and numerous problems that have been on the rise in the United States population since genetically modified organisms, or GMOs, were introduced. His books include Seeds of Deception, Exposed Industry and Government Lies About the Safety of the Genetically Engineered Foods You're Eating, the World's Bestseller on GMOs, and Genetic Roulette, the Documented Health Risk of Genetically Modified Foods, the Authority Work on GMO Health Dangers. A dynamic keynote speaker, Mr. Smith has lectured in more than 40 countries, counseling leaders from every continent, and has been quoted by thousands of news outlets, including the New York Times, Washington Post, the World Service, the Times of London, the Associated Press, Reuters News Service, the LA Times, Time Magazine, and The New Scientist. He appears frequently on radio and television on shows such as The Dr. Oz Show, The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, The Doctors, CBS News, Fox News, CNBC, NPR, and Democracy Now! Mr. Smith resides in California and Iowa, surrounded by genetically modified soybeans and corns. More information is available at responsibletechnology.org/Jeffrey-M-Smith-biography. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Jeffrey, and I look forward to hearing about genetically modified organisms. Now, first, can you tell us what is a GMO?
Well, a genetically modified organism is, in food, for example, is when I take a gene from one species, like bacteria or viruses, and force it into the DNA of other species, like soybeans or corn. And they do this primarily for two reasons. The overwhelming reason is to allow the crops to be sprayed with a chemical herbicide. The GMO companies are largely chemical companies like Monsanto, Dow, DuPont, and they sell herbicides. And now they sell seeds that won't die when the crops are sprayed with the herbicide. And normally we kill the crops. So Roundup Ready soybeans from Monsanto can withstand Roundup herbicide from Monsanto. And so it basically is a way for farmers to weed more easily. Now, there's also corn and cotton plants that produce their own toxic insecticide, and that kills insects by poking holes in the walls of their stomachs. And it turns out that both of these toxins, the herbicides like Roundup that are sprayed on the crops and the toxin that's produced by these crops, are quite dangerous for human health, as is the process itself of genetically engineering the crops, because it creates such massive collateral damage in the plant, you end up with the possibility of more toxins and allergens, etc., and science has borne that out.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Then, Jeffrey, what are the current genetically modified foods on the market in the United States?
Well, there's six major ones, and those are soy, corn, cotton, canola, sugar beets, and alfalfa. Now, within those six, the sugar beets are not the beets you buy and eat at your table. Those are table beets. Sugar beets are just used to produce more than half the sugar in the United States. Alfalfa is used extensively for animal feed as hay, and the corn, it does include corn on the cob, but it's a smaller percentage of corn on the cob that's genetically engineered, not the 93% of all corn. And fortunately, popcorn is not GMO. Now, in addition to those six, there's papaya grown in either Hawaii or China, as well as some zucchini and yellow squash. And this year, they may introduce potatoes and apples that do not brown. So those are the ones that are currently on the market or pending for release this year. Now, there's also animal products, milk, meat, and eggs from animals that have been fed GMOs. And many people believe that that's quite dangerous. There's no research on that particular area except to say that the Roundup, which is sprayed on the crops and ends up inside the crops, you can't wash it off. It's eaten by these animals and it ends up in their tissues as well. We, of course, can eat their tissues or drink their milk, etc.
Jeffrey, I noticed that a lot of the popcorn that is popped, the potato chips, are done in canola oil, and they may say organic, but they're done in canola oil. Does that mean that the canola oil is genetically modified?
If it says organic, then it wouldn't be genetically engineered, because organic does not allow that.
Oh.
Canola is an interesting crop. It was originally, it took oilseed rape, which is used for kind of industrial oil, and they exposed the seeds to radiation, causing mutations. And then they grew out these mutated seeds and found varieties that had low levels of toxins that would normally be very dangerous. It didn't eliminate those toxins, it just lowered them to a level that some people thought it was safe, and it became an approved so-called healthy food. So, there you go. You have the canola that's mutagenic or mutated, and then you have, in addition to that, 95% of it is genetically engineered, outfitted with genes from other species that allow the crop to be sprayed with herbicide. So there you can get organic and non-GMO canola, and then but most of the canola, if it doesn't say either of those two, would be genetically engineered and sprayed with herbicides and have high residues of herbicides in the oil.
And what are some other sources of GMOs?
Well, you have the bovine growth hormone, which is genetically engineered. It's injected into cows to increase milk supply. A former Monsanto scientist told me that three of his colleagues did the actual safety studies on the milk from treated cows at the company, and he said that they found so much of a cancer-promoting hormone in the milk, the three scientists refused to drink milk thereafter unless it was organic. One actually bought his own cow. There's also enzymes that are genetically engineered. I don't focus so much on them because they're not even listed in the label, and they're in tiny amounts. And if I raise that, then a lot of people get so worried about it that they don't know what to do. So I focus on the major GMO crops and also the milk, meat, and eggs.
And what are the health risks of GMOs?
Well, that's extensive. I've written two books and made three movies and toured the world in 42 countries and talking about the answer to that, but I will summarize it for you. And usually the description of the health dangers, when people really get into it, is sufficient to change people's diet on the spot. So I'm not sure how much time we'll spend on it, but I'll give you a sampling. When you look at the animal feeding studies on GMOs, as the American Academy of Environmental Medicine has, they found evidence of harm that was so significant, they said all doctors should prescribe non-GMO diets to every patient. They even asked the government to withdraw GMOs. There was gastrointestinal problems, immune problems, reproductive problems, organ damage, a number of serious issues. And since that review of research, there's also been multiple massive tumors, premature death, hormonal disruptions, etc., etc. Now, when people stop eating GMOs, when they switch to non-GMO and in particular an organic diet, which also eliminates some of the toxins that are added, they report getting better from the same types of diseases and disorders that were plaguing the animals that were fed GMOs, gastrointestinal, reproductive, as well as pain, headaches, anxiety, depression, weight problems, skin problems, a whole host of things. And we've heard from many, many parents that autistic children improve, sometimes even no longer on the spectrum, also ADHD and other behaviors. And when animals in farms are taken off of GMOs, they get better from the same problems, same as the pets. Now, if GMOs were causing all of these problems, we'd ask the question, well, are these problems rising in the U.S. population since GMOs were introduced? And it turns out they have. There's been 30 different diseases or so that have been shown to be rising not only since GMOs were introduced, but actually the slope of the line, the rate of increase of these diseases rises in parallel with the increased use of GMOs and also Roundup, which is sprayed on most GMOs. Now, if it's true that GMOs are causing all of these problems, the question is why? Well, I'll talk about three different categories that can answer that question. The first is the process of genetic engineering itself. You cause such damage, such mutation in the crop that the crop, like, for example, Monsanto soy, has seven times the amount of a known soy allergen. It's not supposed to, but that's what happened as a result of these side effects. Their corn has a new allergen that's never been in corn before, and so you can end up with new allergens or toxins or carcinogens or anti-nutrients just from the process of genetic engineering. So that alone could explain all of the diseases and disorders we're talking about. Now, the other two are the two toxins or poisons that are found in GMOs. Let's start with the BT toxin. The BT toxin is the bug killer, the pesticide. It's found in corn and cotton. And we drink, you know, we have cottonseed oil, although the toxin is no longer in the oil. It is in the corn. So if you have corn tortillas, corn chips, polenta, etc., and it's not organic, and it doesn't say non-GMO, it'll be from corn that produces a toxic insecticide called BT toxin. Now, BT toxin is known to have allergic responses in humans. So that's one possible problem. Second, the toxin pokes holes in the walls of the stomachs of insects to kill them. The biotech industry swore up and down it would have no impact on humans, but it turns out in a published study in 2012 by Minaj and others, showed that, in fact, it pokes holes in human cells, which means we might end up with leaky gut. And leaky gut, what it means, basically holes in the walls of the intestines. So when you have holes in the walls of the intestines, that's linked to cancer, heart disease, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, autism, food allergies, inflammation, and autoimmune disease. Now, you also have Roundup herbicide, which is basically soaked into the crop. As I said, you can't wash it off. And Roundup, its active ingredient glyphosate and glyphosate-based herbicides, they're declared to be probable human carcinogens by the World Health Organization. It also is an endocrine disruptor. It can mess up our hormones, our sex hormones and other hormones that run the body. It also blocks the production of important amino acids in the gut that are necessary to produce serotonin, melatonin, and dopamine, which is absolutely necessary for mood and behavior, blood sugar regulation, stopping to eat when you're full, preventing Parkinson's, and then also getting to sleep at night instead of being kept up from insomnia. It blocks the detoxification of cells. It hurts the mitochondria, which can give us brain fog and lethargy and fatigue. There's so many ways that glyphosate and glyphosate-based herbicides damage the body that some scientists describe it as the most toxic, has the biggest toxic footprint on the planet, given how much of it is used and how dangerous it is. So just looking at these specific poisons, the BT toxin and the Roundup and the process of genetic engineering, we could explain why so many people, when they switch to organic, notice dramatic improvements in even very, very serious problems, high blood pressure, diabetes, autistic symptoms, autoimmune disease, etc. And I've heard thousands of testimonials. In fact, we have a survey of 3,600 people describing a whole host of symptoms that cleared up completely or dramatically when they switched to organic food.
One thing I've noticed, Jeffrey, is that I can eat things from Germany that I cannot eat in the United States. And I discovered this about 4 years ago. I have friends that send me German cookies every year for Christmas. And I had developed allergies to rye, barley, oats, and wheat, and gluten. And so I was hungry one day for something sweet, and I ate one of the cookies, and I got finished, and I thought, I bet that had wheat in it. So I checked, and it did, and I ate more cookies, and I have no effect to them. But if I eat anything here that has wheat, I have an effect to it. Food is not...
I've heard that.
Have you?
I've heard that over and over again, Carl. I've heard it for 15 years. Now, it's interesting that, well, certainly the wheat may be different because of the way that it's hybridized here, but also in the U.S., we have a habit of spraying wheat with Roundup just before harvest. Wheat is not genetically engineered. It's bred through hybridization, but it's not inserted with genes. Which would make it genetically, it's not genetically engineered, but it is sprayed with Roundup just before harvest. The Roundup dries down the plant and kills it, and it forces it to produce all of its, to ripen all of its seeds quickly. So it causes uniform ripening, faster ripening, and it kills all the weeds before the next growing season at the same time. So there's a benefit to farmers, but it happens 3 to 5 days before harvest, and that Roundup ends up, of course, in the wheat itself, and we end up eating the Roundup in the wheat. Now, we have a situation where Roundup itself can break, it can cause gaps between the cell walls of the intestines. It's a classic form of leaky gut between cells. And gluten also does the same thing. And I've seen research where the two together, Roundup plus gluten, are even worse on creating a leaky gut. And then the gluten proteins end up in the bloodstream. They're not digested. They go right through the walls of the intestine. And then the body reacts to it. Now, what happens with leaky gut is interesting. Normally, you're not supposed to allow undigested food proteins into the bloodstream. But if there's leaky gut, then it can get into the bloodstream prematurely before it's broken down by all of the enzymes, et cetera, that are in the stomach and intestine. So it ends up causing an alarm bell to go off in the immune system because the immune cells will attack that protein as if it's a foreign invader. And all the immune cells will pull out their iPhones and take pictures of it and post it on their Facebook and say, anything that looks like this, you should attack. But these immune cells use old iPhones, and it's pixelated, and it's fuzzy, and so the immune system starts to attack anything that looks like those invaders, which could be the thyroid, or it could be the microvilli in the intestines, or the pancreas. And by attacking the body itself, that's an autoimmune disease. And that's from this leaky gut and the old iPhones used by the immune system.
I hear a lot about leaky gut on Facebook now. Dr. Axe, Joss Axe, have you heard that name?
Yes.
He's doing, he's doing a lot with IBS.
Right, yeah, he's interviewed me. And the thing is, IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, is one of the problems that people find often improve dramatically when they switch to organic. Inflammatory bowel, irritable bowel, Crohn's disease, things like that, acid reflux. In fact, when I ask, I've asked in over 125 lectures, I've asked the audience to let me know what improvements in health they noticed when they switched to non-GMO and organic diets. And the number one category is always gastrointestinal. And then when I surveyed 3,600 people, the number one category of improvement among them was also gastrointestinal. So, and that makes sense because it's the system that has direct contact with the GMOs, mm-hmm. and if there's leaky gut and holes being poked in the cell walls, also Roundup is an antibiotic. It's even patented as an antibiotic, glyphosate. And, you know, when we take antibiotics, mm-hmm. it wipes out gut bacteria. Mm-hmm. In this case, it's an antibiotic that wipes out the beneficial stuff, the lactobacillus, the bifidus, the stuff that we get in yogurt, the stuff that we pay for. It's wiped out. It's killed mm-hmm. by Roundup that's in our food. Now, that causes an overgrowth of the negative gut bacteria, mm-hmm. and the negative gut bacteria overgrowing is linked to many, many diseases and disorders, including gastrointestinal, but also heart disease, and autism, and allergies, and IBS.
I would suspect candida.
Oh, yeah. See, the thing is, when there's a lack of balance in the microorganisms, mm-hmm. then there can be fungal growth. In mm-hmm. fact, that's partly how Roundup works in the field. It's very interesting, and it has a parallel to how it works in our body. Roundup was originally, glyphosate, its active ingredient, was originally patented as a chelator. Mm-hmm. That's something that grabs onto minerals. Mm-hmm. And it was used as a descaler to clean industrial boilers and pipes. Mm-hmm. You pour it into the system and it would pull the minerals off, the mineral deposits off the walls of these pipes and boilers. So what it does when you spray it on a crop is it chelates the minerals, making them unavailable to the crop. And the minerals are absolutely necessary in order for basic fundamental functions to occur within the plant, like defending themselves against disease. So the plants become weak and sick mm-hmm. when the minerals are not mm-hmm. available. Then glyphosate also promotes the growth of the fungus, the soil-borne pathogens that then kill the plant. So the plant becomes weaker, the diseases around the plant become stronger, and it's a perfect storm for disease and death. At the same time, because it's an antibiotic, it kills the beneficial bacteria in the soil as well. Mm-hmm. So that also further weakens the plant and promotes disease.
Mm-hmm. So probiotics are very important for people that have candida, have the irritable bowel, that have Crohn's, have colitis and things like that?
Mm-hmm.
I would suspect.
Yeah, I've been just recently interviewing for our list people who have additional remedies or protocols to mm-hmm. help heal from the ravages of GMOs and Roundup.
Mm-hmm.
Although for years, the only thing I would say was that what I can say is stop eating GMOs, switch to organic, and for further information, talk to a doctor or nutritionist. Now we're actually have a series where we're inviting people to hear from the experts. So if people are interested in that, they can go to our website and sign up, and we'll mm-hmm. announce them. It's at responsibletechnology.org.
Mm-hmm. Great. Good. My neighbor had colitis. Well, I told her, I said, anytime I have a GI tract problem, I drink aloe vera and take probiotics. And she was paying, I think she told me, $500 a month for a medication that wasn't doing anything. And she switched to the aloe vera and the probiotic. This was probably 4 years ago. And she told me recently that she used to have 3 or 4 episodes a day, and now she has one maybe every 3 or 4 months.
Well, if she switches to organic, maybe those will disappear too.
Oh, I'll tell her. Well, I just assumed she had, but I don't know. We never talked about it. So,
you know, it's interesting. For some people, they're very sensitive, and some people mm-hmm. less sensitive. Children are very sensitive. I was talking to a mom of an organic son, and she said that through modification of the diet, the son was now 80% better in his autistic symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And she would tell her friends, well, he's casein-free, he's gluten-free, and we're on 80% organic. and he's 80% better. And then she kept saying, 80% better, 80% organic. And then it dawned on her one day, oh, my God, 80% organic, 80% better. What happens if we go 100% organic? She did, and he got all better. Mm-hmm. And she said he's like basically 98% healed. And so for that child, it was really, really a peak ingredient. Mm-hmm. Another one, a mom stood up at an MIT lecture where I was giving and said her 6.5-year-old son was violent and out of control. They wanted to kick him out of school. She saw my film, Genetic Roulette, realized it was the food, changed his diet, and all the problems went away.
Hmm.
I said, how long did it take? She said, 1 week. And then she paused and said, in a month I had a new son. So I know one woman said that, her kid was wild, and they constantly being called at home from the school, and he had trouble breathing, switched him to organic. All the problems went away, except the day after he goes and eats at the grandparents' house where mm-hmm. they don't pay attention to the diet mm-hmm. and feed him the old food.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. You mentioned that children are more susceptible.
Yes.
And why is that?
They're more susceptible for a number of reasons. First of all, they don't have a well-developed blood-brain barrier. They don't have a well-developed gut bacteria. They also are highly allergic, so there's a much higher percentage of young children that have allergies than older people. They also are more sensitive to toxins. They're also growing. Their bodies are growing, so they're incorporating the nutrition and energy from the food into their actual structure. So mm-hmm. if there is a problem with the nutrition or toxicity of the food, it can affect the structure. And that's why, for example, when they do animal tests to see if foods are dangerous, they'll use young, fast-growing animals like mm-hmm. rats or mice. But that's also why companies like Monsanto that produce most of the GMOs, they rig their research, and one of the ways that they rig their research is to use older, more mature animals that are far less sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of the tricks of the trade. They have many, many tricks that they use. It's basically tobacco science. And these companies not only rig their research, but they also attack scientists who discover problems and attack and distort and deny the findings. And we saw that over and over again. I write about it in Seeds of Deception. I've written about it in many, many articles. It is in my film, Genetic Roulette, and it's in my new film, which is coming out soon, called Secret Ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
And they also manipulate the approval process in governments. And I've seen that around the world. A classic example is the United States. The person in charge of policy at the FDA when the GMO policy was created was Monsanto's former attorney, Mike
mm-hmm.
Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
He then became Monsanto's vice president and then later was assigned by Obama back at the FDA to be in charge of U.S. food safety.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a Monsanto man that allowed the GMOs on the market by saying that the FDA does not require a single safety study and does not require any labeling. They allow companies like Monsanto, who told us that PCBs, Agent Orange, and DDT were safe, to determine on their own if their GMOs are safe without even telling the government or consumers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Again, I think Bernie is the only one that speaks out against GMO foods.
He is the only candidate right now that has consistently come out with precaution in the GMO area. His state of Vermont, the legislature passed a labeling law
mm-hmm.
requiring GMOs to be labeled as of July 1st of this year.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the food industry and the biotech industry have been heavy-duty lobbying Washington to try and stop that from going into effect.
Mm.
And so last year they were able to convince the House of Representatives to pass a bill that would eliminate states' rights to label. It would eliminate the possibility of ever having mandatory labeling of GMOs in the U.S. like they have in 64 other countries. GMOs are not required to be labeled here. And it was just a terrible bill. We called it the DARK Act, denying mm-hmm. Americans mm-hmm. the right to know. And they tried to get the Senate to pass its version so it would go into law. They tried before the session break in the end of 2015. They tried in March of 2016. So far, they've been unsuccessful. I placed a full-page ad in what's called The Hill, which is read by the senators. That came out the day before our successful vote to block the DARK Act. And it talked about the whole corruption and the health dangers and Michael Taylor and all that. And so we're doing our best to educate our lawmakers. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, there's a multi-million dollar, tens of millions, even hundreds of millions, spent by plastic industry and the Grocery Manufacturers Association to disinform and their lobbying, disinform these elected officials so that they think GMOs are safe and well-regulated, and in fact, they're not.
Jeffrey, is there an accumulative effect so that if you combine, like, pesticides, additives, preservatives, and things like that with the genetically modified foods, that it's more, you're more susceptible to a reaction, or does that not work?
It is very, very likely that that's the case. I'll tell you how we know that this synergy is a problem. I keep using the word glyphosate as the so-called active ingredient of Roundup. It turns out that so many ingredients in Roundup are active, but the industry has gotten away with a lie. They said, oh, no, just the glyphosate is the active ingredient. Everything else is inert. So when the EPA approves an herbicide, they ask the company to submit their testing data only on the active ingredient. So Monsanto submitted data on rat studies and other studies where they fed the rats just glyphosate, pure glyphosate. Now, what they actually use in the field is a glyphosate salt, which is actually more toxic. But it's not just a glyphosate salt, it's combined with other ingredients. Now, these other ingredients are not only not inert, but they themselves would kill the plants if the glyphosate was taken out. And they are 1,000 times more toxic than glyphosate. In fact, if you compare over a four-day period, if you allow the toxicity to really kick in, it can be 100,000 times more toxic than glyphosate itself. So the EPA ignores this soup of chemicals and denies that they have a more serious problem, even though the Roundup is way more toxic than glyphosate alone. And then you add it to other chemicals. So you add it to other herbicides and pesticides, and you have a cocktail effect. And we know from basic chemistry that sometimes when you combine two different poisons, you don't just double the impact, you can make it 10 times or 100 times. Now you have a situation where you take Roundup into the body, and glyphosate blocks or interferes with a particular function in the body. It's called the P450 cytochrome pathway. What it does is it helps produce vitamin D, it helps detox the body, it allows the liver to detox, and when you block its ability to detox, that means that all of the other toxins that you're bringing in to the body from all these different sources can become more dangerous because they're not leaving the body. They're stuck. They're not, the normal detoxification is not happening. And then if you also have leaky gut, then things that should be passing through the digestive tract on out can end up into the bloodstream. So you end up, for example, with BT toxin in the blood of 93% of the pregnant women tested. The BT toxin, as a reminder, is the toxin that pokes holes in human cells. Now, the toxin gets into human blood. How does it do that? Possibly through the walls, through the holes that it creates. Now, if it's in the blood, what's its effect going to be on the blood cells? Well, according to a mouse study, was toxic and might cause a leukemia. Now, it also gets into the blood of the unborn fetus for pregnant women. 80% of them tested had BT toxin in their blood. If it gets in the blood of the unborn fetus, then it may end up in their brains because the blood-brain barrier is not well-developed at all. So you may end up with a hole-poking toxin in the brains of the offspring of this generation. So these are some examples of of some of the real serious problems that we have with GMOs and also the toxins associated with them.
Jeffrey, are there ways other than organic food to avoid the genetically modified organisms?
Yes. Because Roundup is sprayed on wheat, barley, rye, oats, sweet potatoes, potatoes, wine grapes, etc., and these things are non-GMO, we recommend going organic if you can, because then you avoid the GMOs and also these other crops that are sprayed with Roundup. But if you can't get organic, at least go non-GMO. Now, you'll see on many products a label that says non-GMO, and the best label to look for is Non-GMO Project Verified. They verified over 35,000 products, and those products are also listed on one of our websites called nongmoshoppingguide.com. And you can, you know, check based on bakery products and beverages and snacks, etc. Now, if you don't see organic and you don't see non-GMO on the label, you can still avoid GMOs by knowing what the at-risk ingredients are. And the at-risk ingredients are derivatives of the 9 basic GMOs, which we mentioned in the beginning. And those are all listed in the shopping guide. Now, unfortunately, the soy and the corn have derivatives that are in most processed foods, same as sugar, same as cottonseed oil and canola oil. So if something comes in a box or a can, then 9 out of 10 times it'll contain at least some small derivative of a GMO, like lecithin or dextrose or maltodextrin. And we list these ingredients at the non-GMOshoppingguide.com website as well. So, again, the four ways to avoid GMOs are: one, buy organic, that's the best; two, buy products that say non-GMO; three, buy products that are listed in the shopping guide; four, buy products that are not containing the at-risk ingredients.
You know, I buy sometimes from my neighbors, which is, I think, wise, too, because we have a lot of older people that are retired, and they'll have a garden, and they don't eat everything out of their garden, so they put it out on a table in front of their house, and it's an honor system, and they put the prices out there, and you just leave the money, and you weigh what you want, and you take it. And I know these people, and I know they don't use anything that's genetically modified, so I figured that they're probably all right, too.
It's true. When you buy locally and you can talk to the gardener or farmer, wonderful. But it's still important, if you're buying local, to find out if they're spraying.
They may
not have any idea if they're spraying a nasty chemical. A lot of people spray Roundup on their lawns thinking that it's safe. They'll believe the old statements that it's biodegradable, even though Monsanto got convicted of false advertising, because it certainly isn't biodegradable. It can take decades to break down in the soil, depending on conditions. Dogs can then roll in it, kids can play in it, and now you have Roundup, which is a probable human carcinogen, on the skin of the animals and the kids, and it's a disaster. I mean, it's being used in golf courses and being used by municipalities. Fortunately, many more and more municipalities are banning the use of Roundup and other pesticides, and we have a website called RoundupRisks.com, which people can use to convey to their municipalities, their homeowners associations, their golf courses, parks, and schools the dangers of Roundup and why to get rid of it.
Do you have a substitute for that? Because, like, I have a lot of little weeds that grow up, some of them through my driveway and things like that. And I used to use the Roundup because it was so easy, but I haven't been doing it because I didn't know what to use in place of it.
So on our website at RoundupRisks.com, we have a link to a manual for alternatives.
Oh, good.
It's not something that I've studied yet.
Good. Yeah, so I'll go there then and look that up. Are there things that we can do to get the genetically modified organisms out of our food system?
Yes, that's an excellent question. And I think right now the most effective way is to educate people about the health dangers so that when they choose non-GMO in larger and larger numbers, it becomes a marketing liability. And the food companies will realize that using GMOs is going to cost them money, and so they get rid of it. That's how GMOs were kicked out of Europe, not because of a political mandate, but because the mainstream media discussed the health dangers, and that was too much for the food industry, and they all abandoned it. We saw a tipping point like that occur in the United States in the health food industry, in the natural products industry. They kicked GMOs out as of 2013, and now we have some mainstream products like Cheerios and Grape Nuts and Tsums from Campbell's Soup products and Hershey's that will be that either do now or soon will declare non-GMO on these packages. And if people buy those and not the GMO-laden products, then the rest of the industry will realize they better eliminate GMOs quickly. So we invite people to participate not only as non-GMO eaters, but as non-GMO advocates to help educate others. And on our site at responsibletechnology.org, that's our Institute for Responsible Technology, people can sign up to be part of a local Tipping Point Network group in their area. They host movies, they can, you know, table at farmers markets, set up campaigns, help try and get labeling in their state. And we also have a speaker training program that's online, available at any time. We have a newsletter that people can share the information with others. We have a very active Facebook community of over 100,000 people. So we have a lot of opportunities for people to help themselves and others get educated about the health dangers. And that right now is the most reliable and actually effective way to eliminate GMOs because it's already happening. It's already underway.
Now, you mentioned the DARC Act. Are there other things that are happening currently involving labeling? Wasn't there something going on in the West?
There's a lot of efforts that happen on a state-by-state basis. And the biotech industry has spent over $100 million trying to stop. And so far, they've been successful in most efforts. They did not stop Vermont from passing its laws. There's two laws that are passed already in Maine and Connecticut, but their labeling regime requires that more states in the region also pass a labeling bill in order for theirs to be enacted. And the there's some, like, New York State has an effort right now for labeling several states. There's been labeling bills introduced in 30 states over the last couple of years. There's been ballot initiatives where people have raised money and put the issue on the ballot, but then Monsanto spends a fortune, Monsanto and Dow and DuPont and Kellogg's and General Mills, spends a fortune on lying, telling people that a label would cost them $500 per year more in grocery bills. Of course, it's not true. In 64 other countries, they have labeling requirements and the prices haven't gone up by a penny. But they'll lie because they're allowed to lie. It's not illegal to lie in a political campaign. And so they convince people to vote against their own self-interest.
You don't think at this point that they will unlabel the things that are currently being labeled, like the organic and the non-GMO and some of the things that are currently being labeled, at least where I shop?
Well, what's happening, interestingly enough, is in the last 2 weeks, when we defeated the efforts to pass the DARC Act in the Senate in March, and it may come up again, there was announcements by General Mills and Kellogg's and ConAgra and Mars and others that they were going to start labeling all their products as GMO or not, because they have to label it in Vermont, and they don't want to have one package for Vermont and other packages for other states because their distribution system wouldn't allow that. So they're going to start labeling products as genetically modified, and this is a big test case. I mean, my hope is that when people see the genetically modified label, they will buy the non-GMO alternative on the shelf, and that will convince everyone to get rid of GMOs. Now, in some countries, things are labeled as GMO, and there's no change in sales. So we need to get busy educating people about the kind of dangers we talked about. Mm-hmm. Now, if there's some kind of international treaty like the Trans-Pacific Partnership or the TTIP, which is the European one, it's possible that a foreign company could sue the United States saying that your non-GMO labels are hurting our profits and therefore you have to make them illegal. And that's a possibility of happening in the future because of the draconian ways that these new proposed treaties allow companies to sue governments for loss of profit. Mm-hmm. So for now, we're okay, and we'll hope to keep that by doing whatever we can to make sure that our sovereignty is protected.
Right. Well, I remember the years it took to get cigarettes labeled. And in public health, you know, it was well known for many, 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 many years the harm that cigarettes were doing, but it took forever to get them labeled.
In this case, it's just a label that says they are genetically engineered. It doesn't say there's any warning about health. It's an interesting thing that food is not allowed to have those negative effects. And so if it were acknowledged, then it would be kicked off the market. The interesting thing is that's why the biotech industry is so adamant to attack any scientists and their findings who show adverse effects of GMOs, because if they admit it, their entire multi-billion-dollar industry could collapse. They're vicious, they're underhanded, we've caught them doing fraudulent practices, and they continue to do it because they have a lot of money, and they have a lot of money at stake.
Right. Well, it's an eye-opener to grow up in this country, because as a child, you know, you have all of these concepts about, you know, I can trust the government, I can trust the police, I can trust this person, that person, the other person. And then as you get more educated, you find this isn't the case at all, that it all revolves around money. And that's not the way the child thinks, at least I didn't as a child. So it's very...
Yeah, there's a big disconnect between the real state of affairs and the democracy that they teach in school. It's now, I've heard the word corporatocracy, which is probably a more effective term. And in this case, you know, if you're trying to figure out how to stop GMOs, some people say, well, we can just get the government to stop it. Well, the government is kind of the same entity as these corporations. When Monsanto wanted its bovine growth hormone to be passed by the FDA, the person in charge of policy was their former attorney. The person reviewing the drug used to work as a contractor for Monsanto on the development of the drug. Someone else who worked at Monsanto on the drug then became a division chief in the FDA, and that her division reviewed her own research. When independent-minded scientists at the FDA wanted to hold up the approval process and require more tests, he was fired. Trying to get the government to do something for the people is like trying to get Monsanto to do something against Monsanto.
Right.
Because a lot of times they're the same people. So that's why when you asked me what we can do about it, my response was not, you know, call your congressman to get it banned. It was to tell the PTA, to tell your local communities about the health dangers so that it will be eliminated by the marketplace.
Right, I understand. Then, Jeffrey, is there anything else you'd like to say before we look at your books and services and how the listeners can reach you again?
I would say that when you release a GMO outdoors, then it can cross-pollinate with non-GMO counterparts, even wild relatives. So canola can cross-pollinate with broccoli and chard and cabbage and Brussels sprouts. And once you've contaminated the gene pool, we have no technology to uncontaminate it. It's contaminated for as long as those species exist, unless we develop some new technology that we've never heard of to try and clean it up. So we're talking about a permanent pollution. Now, we can minimize the exposure in the food supply, but we can't eliminate it completely. The biotech industry, on the other hand, their stated goal is to genetically engineer all food, all fish, livestock, trees, algae, fungus, lawn, flowers, basically replace nature.
Mm-hmm.
To eliminate the products of the billions of years of evolution, or replacing with designer organisms using genes and methods that are benefit the company, but not nature.
Mm-hmm.
So we're at a pretty important point in our history, whether we're going to allow these biotech companies to eliminate the products of the billions of years of evolution and create a designer future, which is designed with a technology whose number one impact, number one effect, are surprise side effects.
Mm-hmm.
So we would say that it's an actual urgent situation. It is an A priority, number one world-saving thing to eliminate GMOs. And so if people, having heard this, are motivated to do something, please do it. Please
mm-hmm.
contact
mm-hmm.
us. Go to the Institute for Responsible Technologies website. Sign up for the newsletter. Check out our Facebook page. Like it. Pass information on and see how you can participate, either as a local group or as a speaker or even as a click-and-send revolutionary from your own computer
mm-hmm.
sending information out so that we can actually accelerate what's already happening. There's already a revolution underway. Now is the time for all hands on deck.
Great. Good. Then, Jeffrey, would you tell us about your books and services and, again, how the listeners can locate these?
Sure. Seeds of Deception was my first book, and it's still the world's best-selling book on GMOs, and that's at seedsofdeception.com. And you can also get there, Genetic Roulette, the book or the movie. The book is kind of a textbook. The movie is really very, very powerful in terms of convincing people to avoid GMOs. So if you are listening to this interview and you want to convince someone to avoid GMOs, they can either listen to the interview again or you can watch the film Genetic Roulette, The Gamble of Our Lives, which is also available at geneticroulettemovie.com. In addition, the main website is responsibletechnology.org. Then there's non-GMOshoppingguide.com, RoundupRisks.com, and we have a new movie we're producing called Secret Ingredients, and you can watch the trailer at SecretIngredientsMovie.com. It's about families who heal from chronic conditions when they switch to an organic diet. Now, we run a nonprofit, so any donations would be very warmly welcome. In fact, if we had had more money, I would say the tipping point would have been done by now
mm-hmm.
because we have been the primary spokespeople for the health dangers. That's the behavior change messaging that's driving the tipping point. And we simply have not had the money to pay for the production cost and staff time to get our message out far
mm-hmm.
and wide.
Mm-hmm.
We want to get it out both in the United States as well as all around the world. We now have the tools and technologies that we know work. We're looking for financial support for that.
Mm-hmm.
So people can make a tax-deductible donation at responsibletechnology.org.
Great. Well, this has been very interesting, very informative, and will add a lot to information that people around the world need to have. And so I appreciate it very, very much, Jeffrey.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for all the work you've been doing for so long.
Thank you. I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show, and I hope some of the information will be useful to you. I invite you to my websites, holistichealthshow.com, where you will find all shows for the past 7 years under the blog. You will also find much of the research on natural ways to deal with cancer and other health conditions, and can sign up for my free monthly newsletter. On my website, beatlungcancer.net, you will find many of the 135 interviews from radio and television over the past 2 years about my book on treating lung cancer naturally and holistically when I was diagnosed 41 years ago next month and given 6 months to live by traditional medicine who offered chemo and surgery. This book was published in November 2012 and was a bestseller on Amazon. You will find endorsements of the book a place to buy the book, and an earlier one from 2007 titled Healthy Holistic Aging, A Blueprint for Success. On my third website, you will find information on the Carl O'Helvey Holistic Cancer Foundation, begun last year and currently in the phase of completing the website. This site is at www.holisticcancerfoundation.com. Information on how the foundation differs from others, board members, research on holistic natural ways to deal with cancer, including mental and spiritual interventions, interviews with cancer physicians and survivors, and more. If you would like to donate to the work I am supporting, there is a tab to donate, and I can offer you a tax exemption receipt if living in the United States. I also invite you to join me on Facebook at my Facebook page, www.facebook.com/Carl Helvey, on my Holistic Health Show page at www.facebook.com/pages/Holistic Health Show, and the Carl O'Helvey Holistic Cancer Foundation page at www.facebook.com/beatlungcancernaturalalternative. On LinkedIn, I invite you to join me under my name, Dr. Carl O'Helvey. On Twitter, I invite you to join me at www.twitter.com/HolistHealthShow, HolistHealthShow. I wish you a great week, and I look forward to having you here in 2 weeks. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host.